What happened to having desks with dividers or having an office with a door? Seems like that is a thing of the past. And there's also wellness rooms, relaxation hubs, working from home and hot desking. Organisational psychologist and executive coach Joe Hart is going to talk me through why there are all these things and why do we need them. Hello, Joe. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Angie. Well, you're very welcome. Happy to be here.
Now, tell me, what is hot desking?
Yeah, look, hot desking's been around for a while, like well before COVID was ever a thing. And it basically just it means going into the office and not having a set space that you sit at every day. So you'll have to usually log in, you'll have to put your stuff in a locker, and then you'll either borrow a laptop or have your own laptop, and you sit at a desk assigned to you for the day, and then you clean it up, you go home, and somebody else sits at that desk the next day. So it's sort of like, yeah, like a temporary space that you can use for the day, and that's it.
Well, that seems like a complete hassle. Are there, well, my guess would be that would be the disadvantage of it, but are there advantages of hot desking?
Well, there certainly are advantages. If you're an employer and you're spending a lot of money on space, if it's a really prestigious location in the middle of the city and you can only really afford to have, you know, let's say 50 people in that office space, then hot desking makes sense, particularly if that workforce is one that's out and about. So say if it's sales culture, you've got people out and about talking to customers, or at least that's what you want them to be doing. You don't necessarily need an office for them to come back to. So cost-effective-wise, it really does make sense.
Of course. It works for the employer, doesn't it?
Totally.
Now, I would have thought, following the pandemic, hot desking wouldn't exactly be safe, even if you wipe it down. With your sort of feedback in the work that you do you think, have you heard that people actually feel uncomfortable with hot desking, mainly because of the germ situation?
No, actually. No, I haven't heard that. I think generally speaking, I mean, you've got a couple of people that are, you know, a little bit paranoid about germs, but they were probably a little bit paranoid about germs before COVID was a thing. I'd say the majority of people are just getting back into the swing of things. You know, you walk into any gym, and while people might be wiping down their equipment, a lot of people aren't. And they've got short memories and they forget that we were all locked down and, you know, they've just gone back to your business as usual. So, yeah, poor hygiene is going to be a thing. And I reckon, COVID didn't really fix that problem.
Yeah, I know of some health departments here in South Australia who do hot desking, and I wouldn't have thought it would be a sort of smart move for a health department to hot desk. It's not a good look, I don't think.
Yeah, look, they're probably, I don't know, but I'm guessing they're probably looking at the cost-saving angle and the fact that honestly, I think the driver for people wanting to, employers wanting to shift to hot desking is knowing that people are working from home anyway. So why would they pay for a desk in an office when people are 4 or 5 days a week working from home anyway? It sort of doesn't make sense. However, for the person coming back into the office, even if it's 1 day a week, they sort of want their office. Right, they're creatures of habit. They want to know that their space is there and they're valued enough to have an office. I think that's an important element that we forget about. It makes them feel important.
Well, for me, Joe, and I was one of those people that never worked from home through the pandemic because of my job. I was in the office every day, like normal. So I suppose I'm looking at it from that point of view. If my boss said to me tomorrow, you've got a hot desk, I'd be, what the hell? I don't have time to hot desk.
Yeah.
I've got too much on my plate. You should see, like, I have my days mapped out with notes for today's prep, notes for tomorrow's prep. I just, I need a desk and I need the space for a hot desk.
It's, you know, it's funny. I'll tell a story about a workplace I used to work in, and I was leading a team where we shifted from, and this is well pre-COVID, like way before COVID, we shifted from everyone having their offices. And while they weren't in a closed room, they had their set space. and they wanted everyone to shift towards a help desking model. And funnily enough, our department, everyone just became creatures of habit and it became their desk again. So no one really hot desked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and people just work around the system and get what they want. And ultimately, no one was upset about it because they all had their space. We did have the luxury of having enough spaces for everyone, though. So it would have been a problem if, you know, we didn't have enough space.
It feels like hot desking to me feels disruptive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Because there's a friend who works for the public service and works from home because the hot desking is a hassle to pack it up every day, put your belongings in a locker. They work from home because it is much easier. But what is working from home doing to your mental health? Like, how are you supposed to know your workmates if you aren't in the office?
Yeah, look, the easy answer to that one is there are so many different platforms and ways in which we can interact online. You know, Teams, for example, Slack, you know, other project management software that enables you to chat and do your thing throughout the day. However, it's not a substitute for belly-to-belly conversation where, you know, you're all sitting down and having a conversation or chatting collaboratively or just even before the meeting kicks off, that five-minute interlude where you're just chatting away and talking about what happened on the weekend. It's hard to emulate online.
Yeah.
It's sort of weird when, I mean, you might be doing that if you're the first two people that join a Zoom call, but then the second the third person comes in, it's just awkward. Like, you can't have that same free-flowing conversation where people chime in and chime out as needed.
Yeah.
So it certainly is a challenge. Now, how does this affect mental health? Depends on the individual, if I can be completely honest. I think the flexibility is great. It's amazing to have the flexibility to be able to work from home and have that choice. I would say if somebody's really good at putting personal boundaries in place around, you know, it's time to have a shower, it's time to put my clothes on and behave as an adult, then, you know, I think that's good because they'll be able to function properly and not let some of their negative self-talk take over. But if you're not interacting with people and you start to let go of your routine and some of the things that signal to your body that this is normal and I'm going about my business, yeah, you might go down a bit of a slippery slope. And I think it's really important for managers to step up to the plate and really understand where people are at, because they won't admit something's wrong necessarily, especially not to their manager, without, you know, some really good work from the manager to establish that trust.
So, Joe, what about the new thing is wellness rooms, all sorts of relaxation spots. Why is this a thing now?
The infinite wisdom of organisations to combat the fact that people are saying, oh, they're just trying to cut costs, they're saying, well, no, we're not. Yes, we are, but no, we're not. So why don't we give people a reason to come back into the office? And that'll sort of counteract this negativity or this, you know, sentiment that we're hearing that hot desking is a fact and it's not something anyone wants to do. So, you know, they're making these little wellness rooms or breakout rooms that, you know, I think they're a bit gimmicky. It's all like the food van on a Friday or the coffee cart. They're great, and people tend to say, oh, that was really good, but it doesn't make up for the fact that, you know, there's something underneath all of that that people are like, yeah, it still doesn't feel right. It still feels a little bit empty. So it's never a replacement for, you know, a really genuine, trusting relationship that you have with, first and foremost, your colleagues and your manager, but that then bleeds into the relationship you have with the broader organisation. It must. So, yeah, none of those little extra perks, let's call them, are going to replace that trustworthy or trusting relationship you establish with your manager.
Chatting to organisational psychologist and executive coach Joe Hart. Before we let you go, Joe, so in your business, what sort of things might clients come to you for?
Yeah, look, team facilitation, so where they want to have an offsite or a team day where they really connect with each other, understand the different personalities, how they operate, one-on-one coaching, you know, if they know that they could be more effective in how they lead people, I think is the biggest thing that I can offer. So, yeah, that just helps with engagement individually, but also in terms of the team and then broader culture as well.
Yeah. Joe, thank you for your time. If you want to get, for people want to find some further information, it's joehart.com, isn't it?
Yeah, joehart.com.au.
.com.au. I'll put the AU. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for your time.
Beautiful. Thanks, Angie.
Joe Hart, organisational psychologist.